Good morning, everybody. This is an amazing time to be in class, the first class of 2019. There's some great things we're going to talk about today. First, let's take care of a little bit of business. Rita's handing out my notes in full, and I just did not have time to get a syllabus done. But as she's handing these out, we're also endeavoring. The Lord placed this on my heart several weeks ago, and Brother Don is helping me. What you're going to be getting right now is not the completed project. It is just more so. Oh, thank you, Brother Don. That's a great way to do that. There's the front and back. And Sandy, if you would pass these out. What you're going to be getting now is called the Word and Prayer Daily Guide. Now, you know, we have our calendars. And our word and prayer calendar, which gives us three chapters to read a day, just three. And this year, I don't intend to read the Bible through as many times as I did last year, which I so appreciate. You get started and it's like a craving, you just really can't stop. But I have decided I will read the Bible aloud to myself this year. So that's how I'm doing it. Different, keeping it fresh, reading it aloud to myself. So we have the Word and Prayer calendar, but this is going to be something I want to develop with the help of our volunteers, something that puts it to a day-to-day personal level. So, because I've learned if you don't keep something fresh, then you don't look forward to it. It's not as appetizing. And so this is daily. Now, as you can see, of course, I had the advantage. This is the third, so I've already gone through, this is day three of my sheet. It simply says, see there on January 1st, and as I pray during the week, the Lord gives me rhema words, and different scriptures pop out of to me, because I listen to preaching and teaching and read myself and research, and whatever that day really stirs me up, I always journal about it. So from everything you will get will be what the Lord I feel like has given me in private before I share it with you publicly and on paper. This, now like January the 1st, this is what came to me. Jesus said unto them, because I'm thinking, okay, this is the first day of the year, Lord, what are you speaking to me? And this is what I received. You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with thy entire mind. This is the first and great commandment. So how better way to start the first day of the year with the first and the greatest commandment? So I pondered over that, and then I endeavored to put a personal, short personal prayer, and it simply said, and this is just how I was responding to the presence of God. Lord, reveal to me what areas in my life I have not wholly, I have not given wholly to you, and which ones I have yet to give. Simply means, Lord, where am I putting you first, and in what areas, and what areas am I not? And then the corporate prayer, which will be something we all pray for every day, the same thing for this particular day, the peace and protection of Jerusalem, and that Israel would open her heart to Christ. That would be the prayer that all of prayer school, everybody that ever orders or prints these from online, around the world eventually, we would all be praying the exact same thing. Now, what do you think would happen if you have 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, or 1,000,000 people all the same day praying for the peace and protection of Jerusalem and that Israel would turn their heart to God? You think that might get attention? Yeah. I think so. So then we're moving on to day two, January 2nd. Of course, it just makes sense that the second greatest commandment is likened to the first, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then the personal prayer for that day, I said, Father, I pray I will learn to see others as you do and to love them as you do. Use me as someone's good Samaritan. You know that? That just opens you up, and then you don't shirk back or swerve around the path and leave the poor Samaritan in the ditch because you got church stuff to do. Right. Lord, make me someone's Samaritan. And then you get prepared to do that. You keep a little money in your pocket. You know, I mean, we could go on and on, but that's not today's lesson. And then corporately, my prayer today is for the USA. And then this is how I think, that we would be united. How many of you realize that in 2019, if there's one thing among many we need, is that to be a united States again. Yes. So that we would be united, and that we, that we would be safe. And then acknowledge God for who He is. You know what? I'm not asking for people to line up with my doctrines or my belief. Just acknowledge God for who He is, and then everything else will take care of itself. Mm-hmm. So that was for two. Oh, and then there's a thankful. I'm sorry. Correct me, Miss Rita, or remind me. And then every day there would be something we are thankful for. Because I want us all to get into a habit of thankfulness. And so that day that I put on mine, because it's what I'm going to teach today, it's the word from God. And then for the second, I put, today I am thankful for, and this is so personal, and it will be for you as well, a year beginning with the love of a good man. So, you know, or whatever, you know. Yeah. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Then three, that would be today, I would pray Psalm 65 and 11. And it's just pumping more word in you. It's all it is. It's just shoring you up. Another shot of the penicillin, of the antibiotic of the word. Thou crown the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Now, to me, that says, Lord, just top off this year with your goodness. And, you know, nobody's as good as God. And make this year and all my paths, not my body, but my paths, drop fat. Well, maybe I want my body to drop fatness as well. So then the personal prayer for that day, Father, I ask this to be so to be so with my earthly family, my Christian brothers and sisters, as well as those who have yet to come to you. May the goodness of God lead them to repentance and restoration. That is my personal prayer that day. Then corporately. Now, this is where all of you and everybody that will ever download this or listen to this message or these teachings, then we will have a place on the website that you can, and we probably already do, that you can email or text prayer request. So corporately today, we were all praying for Kent S. Now, because of privacy issues, I didn't put Smith, because we all know who Kent Smith is. Serena and Kent that came, and then Kent has been diagnosed with cancer, and the doctor's report is not good. So corporately today, everybody that sees this will pray for Kent S., to have divine healing manifested in his body. Because see, he's already been given the gift of divine healing. It just has to manifest itself as killing cancer cells and reproducing healthy cells. So that's today. And then today I am thankful for having lunch with a dear friend and catching up. So I probably wouldn't have thought about that. I probably wouldn't have thought of some of these topics unless it's on paper and I'm seeing it and I'm reading it. Yeah. All this is another level of the word and prayer in your life. Because prayer school's tagline is in the word and on our knees. That's it. I mean, because then everything else takes care of itself. Once we know the word and pray the word and live the word, then life will just come, right? Not that we won't have times of crisis or temptations or trials. Jesus said, don't be surprised when you have these things, but be of good cheer. Why would he tell us to be of good cheer when we have temptations and trials? Because I've already overcome. I've already won the battle. You just got to get pulled through the battlegrounds, because the victory is all, you stick with me on the battleground and I'll be with you for the victory. So I'm excited about that. We're actually going to get it to where it, I think we're going to get it to where it folds like this. This what I just passed out to you will be folded like this, and hopefully some testimonies of the week, so many things, and it can just slip right into your Bible, which you're reading every day, or write into your prayer guide. And then if you do as me, I'm going to punch holes in mine and keep them in a binder to where I will have my prayer, my scriptures, and who I prayed for all day long. And I'm going to have a answered prayer sheet as well. So that's kind of how that's going. So I'm excited. You say, well, you just think this is a new year and, you know, that'll all fade. Okay, if it does, I want you to remind me. I want you to remind me, but I'm not thinking it's going to happen. So praise God. Now take that home with you and come back with it next year. Well, come back a few times before next year. Come back with your sheet. This is homework. You know, this is prayer school, right? This is homework. You have a week. It's just a little daily thing. Bring it, and I'm going to say, okay, let's check your homework. And all I'm going to do, I'm not going to read your answers. I'll just have some Rita or somebody, a Sandy, just to go through and just put a check, you know, smiley face. Okay, they did this. You say, well, isn't that legalistic? No, it is for your benefit, because once you get started, there won't be any quitting place. Glory to God. Now, praise the Lord. Change gears here. I just get so excited when I feel that the Lord gives me something that will benefit everyone, because I'm not stingy with the Word of God. I'm just not. I can't really. I think I am addicted. If you want to know the truth, I think I am addicted. And I do not apologize for that. I would to the good Lord that all professing Christians, if professing Christians would get in the Word, they would go from professing to possessing Christians. You cannot feed on the Word and not grow spiritually strong. Mm-hmm. It is impossible. It is impossible. Well, this whole process started a few days ago, actually on December the 30th, which I will read something from my last year's journal to you in a little bit. That's what this is. This thought process began to, actually it wasn't even a thought, it was a stirring. Sometimes before I can actually put on paper or into words what the Lord is, and I say that humbly, I don't hear an audible voice, I just sense it, and often most of the time he speaks to me through his word. It begins as a stirring way before it ever comes to be a thought or comes into words. So I do believe that some time ago this stirring began. And it does not give the devil warm and fuzzy feelings when we begin to make a fresh commitment to God. This is, for instance, on October the 3rd, which would have been 3 months, November, December, 3 months ago today, as it happens. Hadn't thought of that before. Rob and I were enjoying a few days down at Branson at Paradise Point. Beautiful, right on the lake, October. You know, it's absolutely gorgeous. We were in the Increase Conference and just so enjoying our time together and our time with the Lord. I was sitting out on that beautiful deck on the top floor overlooking the lake, and I set up shop when I'm there and had all my Bibles and everything. It was just wonderful, and I felt so inspired and moved to finish up projects, complete projects. And so I journaled. I feel like this, a 90-day challenge to myself is what I did, because from that time to December the 31st was exactly 90 days. And I hadn't planned that out either. So I said, yes, Lord, that's what I'll do. And so I wrote in my journal and determined in what area some projects I needed to finish up in the house, some personal projects with myself, some family things. This, I'm going to have a 90-day challenge, and I'm going to get all this done. And, oh, man, I just made myself some possible spreadsheets, and I'm on target to go. I'm there. You know, I'm there. And the next weekend, I'm still on target. The next weekend, I can't remember, Anyway, it wasn't very many days after that my mom fell the first time and broke her left arm. So, because I had already got back home and started my projects, my completions and purging, and then my mom fell. And Sissy and I went back down to Branson for 2 nights. Then I came home, dropped Sissy off, and went straight to Tulsa. And then before I could ever get to Mama, she fell again and broke her other arm. So now my mom has two broke arms. So Sissy and I would not cut my trip short. My sister said, I got Mama, I got her till you can get here. My sister works outside her home, so it's difficult for her to shut her life down. So I didn't ever rush Sissy, but I came in. Sissy got out of the car, took her luggage. I went in, because Robert wasn't here, I don't even remember, bird hunting. And I went, nobody was here, I didn't even go in the house. Maybe I went in to use the restroom, got back in the car and drove to Tulsa, which I stayed in until I could bring Mama here. Anyway, that was 2 months. 2 months. I took Mama home on, I believe, Rob, it was it was the 28th. It was the 28th of December. And for most of that time, everything she did, from the most basic thing that a person has to do for themselves to business, we did it all. So what do you think happened to the 90-day challenge that I had to myself? Because, see, this is my process. Lord, I'm not checking off things just to have a checked-off list. And this, if I permitted you to read my journal, I said, Lord, I am going to finish up to where none of this thing occupies my mental space, to where I can give myself wholly to you. That when I sit down to study, I don't mind studying 4 or 5 or 6 hours a day, because I don't have to think about the painting I need to finish, or the storage room that needs to be cleaned out, or the ledgers needed to be up to date. That was my thing, not to check off, not to show how organized I am. I wanted to restructure my life to where I could have more time. And so, because I have already upped my alarm for 1 hour. And I told, I talked to the devil. I talked to God, but I talked to the devil too. And I told him last night or yesterday morning, I said, if you don't quit messing with me, I'll bump it up another hour, and because the Lord will help me get by on less sleep. So my point is that I'm endeavoring to do these resources to make room in your life, that you will make room in your life for the Word of God and prayer. So with that whole thing going in my life, and I'm feeling the enemy is wanting me to have a guilt trip because I didn't meet my 90-day challenge. I can tell you, I didn't meet my 90-day challenge. You know, so what are you going to do about it? Well, I'll just put it there again and do my part, and God will do his part. In fact, he may even send me volunteers and help. And who knows who might show up at my door to help me organize, or not calling no names, clean. So, you know what? I'm going to do my part in God with him. Well, in that process, I'm praying, and I had a visitation from God the morning of December the 30th, and I'll tell you about that in just a little bit. But then here I am, January the 1st, because Robert and I lead real wild lives. I mean, you know what? We get calls all the time from the neighbors. Could you guys hold it down over there? To show you how wild we are, at 8:30 New Year's Eve, we were gone. And I don't mean passed out from having too much to drink. We were in la-la land asleep. So we were already there. We were already there. So we're up early on January the 1st. And I don't come down for a while because we both go to our studies and have our time with God. So there I am in, and I've just got the best setup in the whole wide world God's blessed me with. And so I've got a new fireplace in my study that puts off heat. Robert did it for me for my for Christmas. My mom gave me another great heated throw, so I don't have to take the one from downstairs back upstairs and then back in the pit. You know, that's so I've got one. I've got a stand there. Oh my goodness, it's just amazing. So I am there. I have my coffee on its warmer. So I'm waiting in the presence of God. I'm there, and I've got somebody. I got a good message going on preaching, and I'm just waiting in the presence of God. And then after about an hour and a half, I said, well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get down on my knees and pray. Sometimes I sit in my chair and pray, but that morning I said, I'm going to get down on my knees and pray. So I've got some great worship music on. You know, I'm creating an atmosphere to promote God coming to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm letting God know, like you would your husband or your wife or that person that you plan to have intimacy with. You create, a wise woman or husband will create an atmosphere that will create an atmosphere that promotes the sense of oneness and love and harmony and welcome. That's what I was doing for the Holy Spirit. I was putting everything else out of my mind and giving myself totally to the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how do you do that? I just sit quiet. I just sit quiet and meditate on the things of God. In the process of that, I'm on my knees, and I'm praying. And I know, probably thanking God for the last year, and as we come in to this year. And then just lost in the presence of God, which means I'm so overwhelmed with God's goodness and His greatness and His desire to use someone, hopefully me, on this earth, that I began to pray in the Spirit. And as I did, because you know the Bible says that you can pray in the Spirit because you're actually praying for things that you don't know how to pray for yet. Right. So I don't know what to ask God to do. I mean, I've got a list of things I'd like to see Him do, but it didn't seem appropriate to pray from my list that morning. So I said, Lord, I want You to have charge of this prayer time. And He was faithful to meet me. So in this prayer time, where it come from, and I said, what I told Robert, where it come from, I do not know. I said, Lord, what is 2019 going to be? What word do You have for me this morning on 2019? And I heard in my spirit, not an audible voice, I said, Lord, what is this season of 2019? What is this? What is this year? And I heard in my spirit that 2019 is the year of fruition. Now, I know it's the Lord because I don't even know the last time. I wasn't even sure I could spell fruition. So, and I wasn't even sure what it meant. So the first thing I had to do, well, if somebody's going to say, this is the year of fruition, you know what? I got my phone, which I do not text or email or anything else in my private time with God, but I got my phone and looked up the word fruition. And it means the part at which a plan or project is realized or completed. Two, the state or action of producing fruit. 2019 is the year of fruition. And I feel that same churning in my spirit. It is the year that we bear fruit of the seeds we have planted up to this point. Amen. That's it in a nutshell, Dawn. The seeds that have been in the ground, that we have put in the ground, that we have planted in 2019 is the season, the year that they will produce fruit. We've been planting a long time. In fact, I didn't put it all in my notes, but in 2017, because I went back 3 years, 2017 was a year of transition. Of course, once I share something with Rob, then he texts me, you know, Think about this. Think about this. Because he can't help himself. You know, he's a preacher. He can't help himself. So I finally, and it would have been great for me for him to have taught this, but he said three words. He sent me three words. Transition, position, and fruition. Because, you know, that's how we do. And I thought, Lord, 2017 was a year of transition. It was a tough year. 2017 was a tough year. 2018 was a year of positioning. It was a year of planting. And then 2019, as the Spirit told me, is the year of fruition, which is from those, because really the tough time, the 2017 was plowing. I mean, we've been plowing a while. We plowed a long while. Then we, several years, maybe a decade or two, we've been plowing this thing out. And then for a year or two, if not more, we've been planting. So, and all that's work. All that is our part. That is what we can do. God will not plow up our fields for us. God will not plant the seeds for us. But what God is obligated to do is to watch over that work, because the Bible says he will not, God cannot forget your labor of love. That's what it says. He will not forget it. Then it is, the Bible says that he watches over the seed that you have planted. So he's been watching over it. It hasn't passed over him. He hasn't disregarded it. So now that's 2017 and all the years previous. That's 2018, all the years previous. And now it's 2019. And the Holy Spirit said to me, and I'm supposed to tell you, that 2019 is the year of fruition. That is when we get to see, hallelujah, the fruits of our plowing and planting come to fruition, come to completeness. Glory to God. I am so excited about the fact that Jesus said to us, not to me, because it's not a private word to me. Some of the things the Spirit speaks to me is for me privately. Sometimes it's for us as a couple or a family. And most of the time it's for corporately. It is for us as a group. And whoever will take the time to listen to this, it is for all of us. So as I was wanting to, as I was saying, okay, Lord, so what's my part? And I have been praying for some time that all of last year, that I want to use my gift, some of my gifts, and I want to be an anointed author and songwriter. That's what I want to do. I mean, I know I have the gift, but life gets in the way. How many of you know that?
Yes.
Life gets in the way. One of the reasons I wanted the 90-day challenge, and if you went back and read my notes, that's what I said. God, I want this stuff done and over and over and over and over, and then I can. So I said, Lord, I want to be a gifted. I want to use my gift as an author, and I am. And even saying the words, I'm thinking, oh, you know, how can that be? Or a songwriter. So what I did, January 1st. I went into my wonderful study that I actually, because I put everything in my notes. If you ever want to know anything about me, all you have to do is read all my journals. And I don't leave anything hidden. I'm very transparent in my journals. And I said what I thought back in February. In fact, about almost a year ago, we began, you know, getting Sissy's place to move in. She moved out. So I took the whole upstairs. And love it. And so one of the rooms there, the bedrooms, I took for what I was calling a quilting studio. Because you all know how I feel about quilting. So I got it all set up. The Lord blessed us. And, you know, if you've been up there, you know how wonderful it is. And it was set up. I even bought myself a new quilting machine and everything, set it up. And I can't tell you how many months. I mean, I got the whole setup. You know, you know how I do stuff. And it sat there, and it looked so good, and it was new, and everything, and months went by, and not one time did I sit down to use the quilting machine. And so finally, I was doing my Bible study, and suddenly it dawned to me, Because every time I'd walk by the quilting machine, the devil would say, well, you're giving all of your time to God. You don't have no time to quilt. So I thought, you know what I'll do, big boy? Out of sight, out of mind. So I took the quilting machine down, put it in the closet. I don't have to look at that anymore. So that freed up that space, but it was just free space now. So then I thought, well, I'll use it to pay bills. Well, that's not my favorite thing to do. So I thought, well, that's not what I want to do either. So I just let it lay. So when the Holy Spirit spoke to me on that day, on January the 1st, I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I want to use my gift. It's important to me. It's imperative. And I may stand in the judgment. Robert's going to teach to us about gifts here really quick and talents. I may have to stand in the judgment for not using my gift. So I said, well, there's nothing else to do but to ready myself. So I went and cleared off the place where it used to have a quilting machine, and then the place where it used to be a place to pay bills, and I got rid of all that. That's a southern thing. I got rid of all that, and I went down. Now, this is still early in the morning, and I have two keyboards downstairs. The one I wanted to use needs repair. It's just the right size. And the enemy said, well, that goes to show you really know the voice of God. It won't fit. Now, I mean, it'll fit, but it won't work. So I didn't do anything else. I said, well, you know what? I'll get it repaired eventually, but today I'm doing this. I'm completing this. So I went down and got that big golly whopper that I used to have over here, that big gray one. And it doesn't fit perfectly, and it's gray, and it doesn't match like the nice black Roland. But I set it up on the stand. Then I set up my computer for writing, my books for research. My keyboard is here, my swivel chair. I'll get me a mat that I can, because when I'm sitting there studying, oftentimes the Lord will drop something into my heart, and I know it's a song, but I got laundry to do, Lord. I got places to go. So what did you say of that, Paula? Because I am making room for my seed. Because, yeah. See, God has possibly given me a gift of writing and songwriting, but I have never made room for my gift. Yeah. I've never given God a place to plant. I have to tell you, this is how I am. There is not a day that goes by, as God is my witness, that I don't think of a title for a book. Not a day. There's not hardly a week that goes by that I don't think of a title for a song. So I thought, and Robert's, I can't say he's been encouraging me. It goes way beyond. Yeah. It goes way beyond encouraging. He finally said this week, he says, I don't know what else to say. You're going to stand before God in the judgment. And so, and that was before he kind of knew what I had done. So you say, well, how does that apply to me? Well, whatever it is that needs to come to fruition in your life, you need to make room in your barn to put to produce. Because until you have room, you know, we all give the rich young ruler a bad time about tearing down the little barns and building the bigger ones. Nothing wrong with that. The era came when he says, I'm going to use it all for me. I'm going to enrich my own life. I'm going to be self-centered and focus only on me and what I want. The Lord does not mind you having big barns full of great stuff, great things, but he wants to be able to use you as a distribution center for the crops that he has brought to fruition in your life. So what is it? What is it that you need to come to fruition? What is it? Now, I'm going to go through my notes, and I'm actually probably going to read a lot of them, because this is how I would write. If I was going to make this a book or a blog. In fact, I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me, you know what? If you're not ready to write a book, at least blog. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You've got your Facebook page.
So would somebody throw something at Robert or gag him, one or the other? He said, if you can't step out in faith to say, I'm writing a book, at least blog. You know, what I give you, and Robert has said this, and he has said this, It is a shame and disgrace that God gives you a word and you don't share it. You know how he is imparting to you, and why me, I have no idea. He is imparting to you truths and a mannerism to expound on those truths, and you won't do it. And you won't do it. So if it's not a book, then it's a blog. And so what did I do? I went online and this morning and found out how one actually begins and opens up a blog. And as Rita said, I can do Facebook or I can do website.
There's the Pomelo Prayer School page, and it's ready for you to put something on there every single day.
And I could. And then also, the Lord reminded me, we only have robertmaloneministries.com as a web page. We also own the domain names of intheWordandOnYourKnees.com. We also own the domain name, and that's a website name. And you know, that's the key. That is the door that the world can come into. I mean, that is your door that the whole world has access to. We also own the domain name askingandreceiving.com. So God has pre-ordered and predestined all this stuff, all these avenues. And I have been so busy living my earthly life that I have neglected my heavenly gift. So no wonder God says 2019, Paula Malone, and for Robert, and for prayer school, and for your students, is the year of fruition. That's the year you finish what we've started a decade ago. I am excited. Am I anxious? I'm always anxious when I'm not in control. I'm always a little nervous, Sandy, when I can't press the buttons and pull the levers. I am a person that likes to know what is around the corner before I make the investment of going around the corner. The Holy Spirit says, trust me. Yeah. We started this a long time ago. We started this decades ago, but 2019 is the year that you began to see the fruit, because, as I hope to get to, the fruit of everything, the seed, fruit comes from seeds. The seed of everything lies within itself.
Yes.
Seeds bear after their own kind.
Yes.
It is impossible, not improbable, it is impossible to plant a tomato seed and get a cucumber on that vine.
Right.
Because there's no cucumber fruit in a tomato seed.
Right.
It is impossible for me to give what I have, hallelujah, the seeds in my life to God and keep them safe and protect them and surround them with the word and prayer and fasting and obedience to that, because that's kind of the fertilizer for my seed, Sandy. So it is impossible for me to, by faith, plant the seed of my gift and then water it with the word and with prayer and with fasting and with obedience. Water it every day, and watch over it every day, and it not to bear the fruit that God intended my seed to bear.
Right.
Because it, the seed, the fruit, lies within the seed. Perhaps we've been, perhaps me, not you, but me, I've been praying for an oak tree, which is massive. I've been praying and believing that we would be debt free. And why? Because I don't want to have to think about that monthly note anymore. I'm done with that. So, but I've been praying for the tree, and God says, you know how a great oak tree starts with an acorn. An acorn, a little, and it doesn't have to be one of them big acorns. A little bitty acorn, about this, is about the size of an acorn. Just about the circumference of my little tiny pinky. But it will grow into one of the most massive trees in North America, the mighty oak. I said, Lord, forgive me for not appreciating, which would be to despise. That's what despise means. Because it says, despise not the day of small beginnings. Despise means to belittle, to pass over, or to not value. Lord, forgive me for despising the acorns you have sent to me that could have grown into the mighty oak. Glory to God.
Start your notes next week.
Start my notes. Okay. Well, I'll start my notes next week. And if you want to take them home and read them, and now there's going to be some errors because there just is. But we're going to wind up, whenever this is done, we're going to wind up. We start in Genesis 1:1. And Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, because that's where the Bible starts off with, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. God made everything and he gave instructions, and his instructions were to be fruitful and multiply abundantly after its kind, for the seed was in itself. And I loved this. The Holy Spirit gave me this morning. He created man and woman and gave them two commandments, but only one commission. The two commandments was don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and don't eat of the tree of life. Only two things. Don't do. And one commission. And that was, how many times did he say it? He said to be fruitful and multiply, have dominion, and a whole bunch of things that are in the notes. Subdue, all those things, and replenish, and let your work come to fruition. So next week, we will talk about that. But I want to read you this. I have to read you this in closing. How many times have I told you? I always wonder if I'm going to have enough to say. So the Lord never runs out of things to say if he can have a mouth to say it with. This was on December the 30th, and I can't not go. I cannot leave unless I tell you this or share this with you. I get up at 4. My alarm goes off at 4. Am I always just rolling happy to get out? No. But I am always glad to get out of bed at 4. And it don't feel sorry for me. I mean, if I knew I couldn't get up that time and have that time with God, you might as well just shoot me and send me on to heaven, because I don't want to live here anymore. So I get up early and to be with God. It started off as giving God the tithe of my day, which is 2 hours and 40 minutes. That's how it started off. And I tell you, once you get a taste of the Word of God in his presence, you just really don't ever. And I'm not super spiritual. Don't ask Robert. But I am not this super spiritual woman. I mean, I'm not. But but that first few hours of the day, I wouldn't trade it for $1 trillion. And I mean that with all my heart. If I knew I could never be in the presence of God again, somebody offered me $1 trillion and said, you can have this, but you have to promise never to have the word, never to pray, and never experience the presence of God again, I wouldn't even hesitate, Barbie. I'd say, take your money somewhere else. So I was in the presence of the Lord, and I had on beautiful music, and I was listening to a song, you know, What a Beautiful Name It Is, one of the greatest songs of our decade. And then it was a melody, and they went into Break Every Chain. And then it went to a great song that was entitled I Hear the Chains Are Fallen. And then it goes right back into What a Beautiful Name. And then another song I'd never heard before, I've Seen You Move the Mountain. It's just, I mean, by this time, oh, my word. Oh, I'm just thinking, it can't get any better. So after a long time of being lost, and this is in my journal, my last year's journal. After a long time of being lost in the presence of God, knowing I had one hand on the throne in heaven, and I'm trying to write this and not being able to see the page. Knowing I had one hand on the throne in heaven and the other, and the other hand on earth, feeling as I would leave this life at any second and find myself in His presence in heaven, experiencing an unsustainable sensation straight from the throne. While nothing else was in existence, but my spirit being one with His. The all I sensed cannot be explained, uttered with any words I know, or any language I could ever learn. In His presence, I began to pray for chains to be broken, for our children's till death do us part, God-chasing spouses to come into their lives, for our children to experience God's glory as they have never known, for our children to make room in their lives for Jesus. Prayer for us to pass the blessing of unfeigned faith of an ever faithful Father to our children. So overcome with love for Him, I cut myself. Let me get this. Do I have my Bible close by? Then overcome with the love, my Bible, sweet pea. With a love for Him, I felt for on my chair for my Bible, really believing I needed it as an anchor to keep me from leaving the floor. I said to myself, if I'm going now, I will go with the Word in my hand. I held it to my head. This is just what I did. I held it to my head on my knees, but somehow felt I wanted it wrapped around me to embrace me as it had enveloped me. And I know it won't happen now, but I opened it up, and I did. I'm going to open it up to where it actually opened up. Because, see, and this is letting you know, I could have never precursored that to happen. Robert, would you find me Joel, please? Joel 2. But somehow wanted it to embrace me as it had enveloped me. I wept with tears of a rare emotion of being torn, thank you, from longing to go be with Him, thank you, and needing to stay here and finish my assignment. After a time, I lowered my Bible from over my face, and my tear-soaked eyes fell upon the wet, tear-stained pages to Joel 2, 24 through 27, which I will read to you. And thy floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I have sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am your God and none else, and you shall never be ashamed. I became lost once again in that place between the throne, His throne, and my home. After a while of uninhibited honor and praise and pure humility before God, for Him speaking to me so personally, I wept, praised, worshiped, and then I read verse 28. Because you remember what I had just prayed for about the chains for our children. And I read 28. The Lord speaking directly to me from a man who wrote this thousands of years ago. Speaking to me in Stillwell, Kansas, a place most people will never hear about or haven't heard about, but they will. And it shall, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards, after he's done all this, after he has restored all the years, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Then after another period of time, my Bible still laying before me, I was once again drawn to the pages, and I read verses 21 through 23, and I've got it written here, but I'll read it to you, or you know I'm reading it. This is really in the Bible. 21 says, "Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid of the beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then," now remember this is January the 1st, "be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately," all those past blessings, "and he will cause to come down for you the rain," the former rain, all those past blessings, "and the latter rain." That means blessings from today forward in the first month. It was as if God was listening to my prayers. I was overtaken by the fact that he loved me enough to directly, specifically, and personally speak to me. He told me by these words written thousands of years ago what would happen to me in my life in 2019. And I wrote a bunch of other things that probably I don't need to say. First, he told me to be glad. Don't wait till it's done. Be glad and rejoice. Don't fear. Don't fret. That past blessings to me were only moderate blessings. But he will cause to come down to me in 2019 the former blessings and the new blessings. So that for my flesh to prosper. Blessings that will put me over the top, surplus, exceed the need in the first month of the year. Today is December the 31st. I realize in less than 36 hours, it will be the first month of 2019. Praises be to God. 2019, the year of fruition.